This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Conversation around technology and AI, which, I mean, we've been having numerous conversations, but this relates to the sharing of intimate images. Now, Canada has laws that deal with the non-consensual sharing of intimate images. We've had some tragic stories, in fact, where young people have lost their lives after experiencing this. So, you know, it's often referred to as revenge porn, too. You know, when an ex who's in possession of intimate images of that former partner then posts them online without their consent, you know, it's done to harm. It's done to humiliate. And so our laws are meant to address that. But here's the thing now. With AI technology, it's known as deep fakes or deep nudes. And you see a lot of this. And in fact, this week was a pretty good example of this problem. One story here, sexually explicit AI-generated images of Taylor Swift have been circulating on X, formerly Twitter, over the last couple of days, and the latest example of the proliferation of AI-generated fake pornography. One of the most prominent examples on X attracted more than 45 million views, 24,000 reposts, and hundreds of thousands of likes and bookmarks before the verified user who shared those images had the account suspended. Taylor Swift AI was trending in some regions. Pretty disturbing stuff. Now, Taylor Swift herself has apparently talked about trying to take some legal action against those responsible, but that raises the question, do we have laws to deal with this? In Canada, it seems pretty clear that there's nothing illegal about this. You post an intimate image of your ex, well, the law is designed to cover that. But if you use your image to generate some AI deepfakes or phony pornography, is that even illegal? Well, our next guest has been trying to raise awareness about all of this. Wrote a really interesting piece recently. You can find it at her Substack, michellerempelgarner.substack.com. And the story yesterday, again, underscoring the need to address it. Joining us for more is the aforementioned Conservative Member of Parliament for Calgary Nose Hill, Michelle Rempel Garner. Michelle, thanks so much for joining us here. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, and like I said, I think you wrote about this last month, and, you know, here we go, a case in point of just what a problem this is. So what does this Taylor Swift story this week symbolize to you about all of this?
Well, that we're well behind the curve on getting the law changes that we need to have on the books to address this issue. I actually wrote about it several months ago. I raised the issue in the House of Commons around debate on a different but tangential bill that could have been an opportunity for the government and parliament to change some of the definitions as it pertains to laws around intimate images being circulated without consent, to tighten those definitions up, to make sure that should somebody go to court over this issue, that there actually would be legal recourse for them. And the jury literally is kind of out on that right now. I've had since I've started speaking out on this, a lot of lawyers contact me and say, yeah, this is definitely a big area of concern. Some of the law societies in Canada have put papers out on this issue, and it seems like a pretty simple fix, but the government has just been, like, they haven't even acknowledged the existence of this issue. So it's highly frustrating. It's not just frustrating, like, people are going to get hurt, and there's no reason for that when we could act swiftly to address this issue.
What's the thing? And I mean, maybe people are surprised to know that this isn't illegal. We had so much conversation around revenge porn and the sharing of intimate images without consent. I think it's just kind of an assumption that, yeah, that's illegal. But there is this loophole, isn't there?
There is. And, like, there were very tragic cases of young women dying that instigated the original intimate image distribution laws over a decade ago. That shouldn't have to happen. Women shouldn't have to die because to make the government act on this issue. It's clearly a problem. There was a very public story a few weeks ago about a Winnipeg High School student who was bullied using this type of deep nude technology. the spirit of the law is that intimate images of yourself cannot be circulated online or anywhere without your consent. The fact that AI generates something that looks exactly the same as the real thing shouldn't be a loophole that exists that allows the exploitation, bullying, harassment of people who are disproportionately women, frankly. Yeah. So this to me is a no-brainer. I cannot believe that you and I have to have this conversation, you know, basically pleading the government with the government for action. But it shouldn't take, you know, the death or the bullying death of a woman to affect change.
So as you wrote about recently, you say you discovered this issue last month or earlier last year while researching to prepare for debate on Bill S-12, which is an act to amend the criminal code, the Sex Offender Information Registration Act. So that law doesn't necessarily speak to this issue, but it just kind of highlighted where we have a big gap in our laws.
It could have been an opportunity for, let's say, the Justice Committee or the government to tighten up the definitions in the criminal code of what an intimate image is, to ensure that if it is created or generated by artificial intelligence, particularly with the intent of making it look like someone else, that should have been done at this time. And the government has had a lot of other opportunities to, you know, like through different types of bills to do a simple fix like this. I just don't know why they haven't. I think that this is an issue that would get very rapid cross-partisan support. It should. But here we are. And, you know, the government, I know that they've got a lot of other issues that they're trying to deal with of their own making.
Right.
But, like, that's the problem here, is when you've got a government that's so focused on dealing with issues management day-to-day as opposed to these real-life concerns that, you know, frankly, could kill people, we've got a problem. So, you know, the public, I hope that people of all political stripe really do put pressure on their elected officials to address this issue, because somebody is going to get hurt, and that shouldn't happen. These are there are legal fixes for this.
I mean, even just where the technology is at now, like, you know, it's come along so fast. I mean, even in 2 or 3 years from now, you know, just how widely available it is and how easy it is to then make what is very difficult to distinguish from real video images. It's pretty chilling. So there is some urgency to it, isn't there?
There is. And it's, you know, as much as I'm harping on, you know, the intimate image issue and some of the fixes on definition that we could undertake, there's other measures that we need to. I've put together a nonpartisan working group of members of parliament specifically to look at the broader range of issues around artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And even just having something like a watermarking initiative where the public could look at an image and see who generated it. Was it generated by, you know, a camera looking at a human subject, or was it entirely generated by artificial intelligence? How was it manipulated? I think those are the tools the public needs now, looking at a whole range of issues from, you know, intimate image distribution to, you know, fake news, the impact on democracy and human rights.
Yeah.
So, you know, but again, just like I have to tell you, Rob, like getting the government to look at anything proactive right now on these issues that are not just affecting our country in the future, but right now, it's tough going. So, you know, we really, the public needs to demand that the government puts its head on straight and starts looking at some of these issues that have a big impact on the lives, particularly of young Canadians.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. So with regard to this, or the, you know, these kinds of intimate images that this technology can generate, is it about a new law, or could we, I think, as you alluded to, amend our existing laws? What's the fix here?
I think, so what happens when you get a big technological advance is that there's a lot of either, you know, either lack of understanding or, you know, purposeful lobbying to try and make the issue seems so complicated that you have to start back at the drawing board. But we have a lot of laws that simply could just be, you know, definitions tightened so that the, like, existing systems could be used to enforce behavior or criminalize behavior that we already consider criminal under the criminal code, right? Like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time. And, you know, to date, what the government is proposing, they put forward legislation regarding AI before ChatGPT was released. This is kind of like trying to regulate scribes after the printing press was invented. And the process that they're trying to undertake would be opaque, happen behind closed doors, and not happen for years. So, you know, where there is an opportunity to move, the government needs to do that. Again, like these are, I know I sound so agitated on this, but, you know, when I'm thinking about the impact, particularly on, let's say, a young girl in high school who, you know, might have a bully who goes on one of these generation sites and puts nudes of her out on Snap or on Instagram or wherever. I mean, we have an onus to protect these kids. This has to be criminalized, frankly.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if this gets any momentum moving forward here. Michelle, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate the conversation around this.
Thanks for drawing attention to it.
All the best, Michelle. Take care. That is Michelle Rempel-Garner, Conservative Member of Parliament for Calgary Nose Hill. So trying to you know, get some movement on this. And again, like this seems like an obvious one. This isn't some kind of, you know, conservative trap here or anything. Like, this is not even really that political at all, right? Obviously, the conservatives and liberals disagree on things. And sure, you know, the conservatives say we got a private member's bill to do this thing that we want to do. We know the liberals don't. Yeah, okay, fine. I mean, that happens in politics. But this isn't that. Like, this isn't political at all. So it is odd. I don't know if the government just, it's not on the radar for whatever reason, or maybe they're convinced that there's not a lot they can do about it. But, you know, look, we have laws that deal with the non-consensual sharing of these kinds of images or videos. So if this is a loophole where those kind of bad actors can just do it this way instead and get away with it, that's a problem. Now, someone texted to say, well, if someone did that, couldn't you sue them for defamation? I mean, yeah, look, I don't know if defamation law really applies to that. A defamatory libel is a matter published without lawful justification or excuse that is likely to injure the reputation of any person by exposing to hatred, contempt, or ridicule, or that is designed to insult the person or of concerning whom it is published. I mean, you could maybe argue it could encompass that. I mean, defamation's not really the way to deal with what I think is otherwise criminal behavior. And it puts a lot of onus on the victim, too. But I don't know. Maybe that's one way to deal with this.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.